seashore or on the lake shore, being in the lakes region, it reminds me that God is always with us, that God is always stepping with us one step at a time as we go. And sometimes, likely, he is carrying us, as the poem says and as the poem tells us. So if you're familiar with that, if you're not familiar with that song, take an opportunity to simply read through it again or listen to it on the radio. Take a moment, think about what you are listening to, because that is so important, so important. So I want to just say again, thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you. And today what I'm going to do is I want to remind you of some things that will alleviate your anxiety and minimize, perhaps even eliminate, your fear. But before we even get started with all that's going on around us, would you make moments today and in the week to come, each day, make some moments to do things that you enjoy. Play games. Read a book. Do creative things. Do that thing that you've wanted to do for some time. We are moving forward. Do you know that Thursday that we just passed through, Thursday was the first day of spring? So get outside. Go for a walk. Plant some seeds. Go for a bike ride. Do some spring cleaning. And if you'd like, you can come to my house and rake my leaves. You're welcome to do that. But in all seriousness, today I'm talking about how to get through a crisis. Now, as you're well aware, the last couple of weeks, the world has been absolutely flooded with the reaction to the coronavirus. The government has declared a national emergency. Wednesday, Governor Sununu issued an executive order requesting people to refrain from meeting in large groups. Schools have moved to an online instead of classroom learning. So there's a lot that's different. Conventions, concerts, sporting events, now even churches have announced that they're suspending meeting together during this crisis. None of us have experienced anything like this. The continuous and repeated media reporting is promoting anxiety. And it's fanning the flames of fear, resulting in people responding out of fear. For instance, the crowds in the grocery store, seeing the stockpiling that is going on, people are afraid that there won't be enough. But what is one person going to do with 8 bottles of shampoo? Now today, I want to remind you of some things that can calm your worries, that will reduce your anxiety and relieve your fears. Psalm 23 comes to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. In other words, if I trust God, God will take care of me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, O God, are with me. This coronavirus has brought us into a dark valley. The disruption to our schedules, the continuous flood of coverage, it has elevated and promoted fear, which is unveiling what people truly place their trust in and what we believe about life and eternity. Now, accurate statistical numbers will not be known for quite some time, but already we know and we know that the vast majority who experience this virus become mildly ill. A few will become moderately ill, and for a very few, this is life-threatening. We already know that this virus will not last. We are in a valley. Friends, we will walk through this together. History tells us that epidemics grow and then they decline, a lot like a bell curve, meaning that they start, they spring up, they increase, and then they come to a climax, and inevitably they decline. In the last 10 days, we've heard health officials, our president, our governor, working to lower that peak of the climax of the outbreaks. the majority of the steps to contain and reduce and even prevent the number of new infections, most of them are common sense. Common sense steps, like you've heard them, like quarantining those who have a virus, like self-quarantining those who might have a virus, and certainly protecting the most vulnerable by isolating them from contact. Wash your hands as often as you can. Avoid places and physical contact with strangers. It's all good common sense practices. In the days ahead, we are going to need to take some actions together. For instance, with schools out, teachers who have moved to this whole new way of educating, what can we do to help parents that need to be at work when they have school-aged children? For those who are vulnerable, who self-quarantine, who will get their groceries? If they have a P.O. box, how will they get their mail? In the days and weeks ahead, there will be a work slowdown. There will be economic consequences from all of this disruption. But today and together as a church family, we're going to work through this together, and we'll figure out new ways that we can be today's Church of Jesus Christ, supporting, encouraging, and working together to help each other along the way. We'll discover how to help those in our community as well as each other. And I have to tell you that God, in and through this so far, I have already seen God at work, God doing things. You know, for a number of months prior to all of this, we have been researching and doing some planning on some projects and some things that will strengthen and support us as a church. And this past week, we have made exponential progress. Doors have opened, and we've been able to do things that we've never done before. God has opened those doors for us. For instance, this whole idea of live streaming. We've never done this before, but yet God has opened the doors, given us the resources of people and time to do it. God is opening up new ways to support each other. In 1 week's time, we've done things that now, simply by going on to our website, you can volunteer to help others in a very specific way, a way that you are comfortable to do so and the way that you're gifted to do things. So maybe you wouldn't mind picking up a few extra groceries when you get to the grocery store and dropping them off at someone's house. Or maybe you wouldn't mind, in fact, you would like to pray for someone. Or you'd like to be praying for someone specifically, or cook a meal for someone. Or perhaps you need some help, someone to pick up some groceries, or you need someone to pick up your mail, or you need prayer. Today you can go on our website, newhamptoncc.org, and you can log on and register with us, and together we can move through this valley. God is at work, and God is present with us. So today I want to focus on strengthening your confidence. I want to specifically focus on how to replace that anxiety and that fear with facts and with faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about how he handled unexpected problems. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. If you have a Bible, if you have your Bible open and you're following along, or perhaps you're looking on the screen, or if you have the message notes that you downloaded, the three things I want to highlight there is, our hope is firm because we know. Our hope is firm because we know. The point is, what we know is what will get us through. What we know gives us hope to get us through whatever crisis we are in. Today, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to simply remind you of what you already know, because you will be tempted to listen and to watch to those things that increase anxiety and lead to fear. As a Christian, it is especially important in these days to remember what we know, because what we know, what our belief is grounded in, will give us hope. Hope will give you confidence. Hope will give you courage and calmness that you need today and in the days ahead. The Bible places an emphasis on getting the facts. So before you take any action, get the facts. Before you make any major decisions, get the facts. So let me remind you of a few things. First of all, not everything that I hear or not everything that you hear is true. Proverbs 14:15 says this, "Only simpletons believe everything they are told. The prudent carefully consider their steps." Not everyone who's speaking on the internet or social media or even the radio or those who are on TV, not everyone who is broadcasting knows what they're talking about. Not everyone who is talking about the crisis is talking about it in a way that is helpful. And the point is simply, not everyone who's talking about this crisis is worth listening to. So be selective. Be selective in who you listen to. Be discerning on how much information you are ingesting. Too much of anything will make you uncomfortable. Be aware. Be aware, some people will use this crisis for their own political or personal agenda and advantage. You know, if a person starts blaming, that is a sign that they're just using or want their own advantage. They're going to use this for themselves. People who blame are not out to help. They are out to make a point. The best thing to do is to take quick and decisive action. Ignore them. Better yet, just turn them off. Be aware. Be aware there will be those who will use this crisis for financial advantage. There was a post on Craigslist the other day. You can buy 18 rolls of off-brand, I might add, toilet paper for $28. Be aware. Be aware of people who are trying to take advantage of others with fake remedies. As your pastor who loves you, don't fall for phone or online solutions. When there is a vaccine or a remedy that is available, our government, the CDC, will make sure everyone knows about it. Proverbs 13:16 says, "All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly." We are to act. We are to respond out of knowledge. We are to act not out of our feelings, not out of our fear, not out of our anxiety. That will not help us make wise decisions, but act by responding to facts. The Bible consistently instructs that decisions should be made as a result of facts, out of things that we do know. So don't base your decision on fakes. Don't base your decision on fallacies. Don't base your decision on faulty statistics. Don't base your decisions on fads or fantasies or fake news or false reports. And definitely don't base your decisions on fears or on your feelings. Feelings are highly unreliable. Look at Proverbs 18:13. "To answer before listening, that is a folly and a shame." To respond, to make a decision before you know the facts is just plain unwise. Don't listen to everyone who's spouting information and going on and on. Go to dependable, reliable sources and get the facts. Proverbs 18:2 says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinion." If you have browsed social media, you have heard many of them. A lot of them are just making noise. Proverbs 14:8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. A wise man looks ahead while a foolish person blows a lot of dust and confusion." Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth, do not sell it." It means hold on to it. Buy wisdom and instruction as well. Get insight. The New Living Translation says it this way, "Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, get discipline, and good judgment." Wisdom is telling you, search for the truth. Get the facts. Wisdom. Use it. Get it. And anchor yourself to the facts. Hold on tightly to good sense. What I have learned is that people who trust God, those who are followers, disciples of Jesus, we are people of faith that is based on fact. We are people who believe in facts and we put our trust in God. But remember that not everything you hear is true. And also, we need to keep in mind that not everyone is at equal risk. As with every virus and illness, this one is very similar in that not everyone is at equal risk. The facts are very clear. The history of the coronaviruses is that the most vulnerable are those who have a predisposed health risk or those over the age of 60. Adults under 60 and children who don't have a health risk are not a high risk category. If you're over 60 and you have a weakened immune system, heart disease, asthma, diabetes, cancer, upper respiratory issues or problems, your immune system is weakened for any reason, these are the people that we need to be protecting. If you're in this category, be wise, use wisdom, take precautions. Your church wants to help you and protect you. And coronavirus is not the seasonal flu. The strain is called a novel virus for a reason, because there's no prior immunity and we have no vaccines for this as of yet. But we're moving forward. That simply means that the two things that normally stop or slow the spread of a viral infection are not yet available. Therefore, it is wise to be cautious. But let's not be fearful. Let's be frank without being foolish. Let's have faith and make sure we know the facts. Remember that this too shall pass. You know, the reason that your grandmother and perhaps your great-grandmother and maybe your mother even said that phrase, "this too shall pass," is because it will. It hasn't come to stay. This too shall pass. It's not going to last. It's going to pass. We are going to go through this, and we're going to do it as a church family, together. We don't want anyone to be alone, and we need each other to trust God and to work together. Do the things that the doctors tell us to do. Do the common sense things, and remember that this is not going to last. Every virus has a bell curve, and the precautions being recommended are to cut down on that climax. You know, in this world, we should not be surprised when we're confronted with trials, difficulties, tribulations, any of those things. The Bible is very truthful about these things and tells us that we will face difficulty. 1 Peter put it this way. He said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised, he says. Keep in mind the reason why there is illness in the world is because the world is not a perfect place. There is illness in the world because we live in a broken world. Nothing works perfectly. Since sin and evil entered into the world, nothing works perfectly. Sin broke everything on the earth. Isaiah explained it this way in Isaiah 24. He says, "The earth suffers for the sins of its people. They have twisted God's instruction, violated his laws, and broken his everlasting covenant." The earth is not perfect. Sin and evil are alive. So often I have the question come to me that says, "Well, why does God allow sin and evil?" Well, God allows it because of us. Because of us, people, he's given us a free choice. Now, for a much fuller explanation on that, listen to the message on our website that is titled, "Why God Allows Suffering." When we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we did just a few minutes ago, we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, we acknowledge that this is not heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is a place with no sorrow, with no sickness, no fear, no pain. Heaven is the perfect place with no stress, no anxiety. and to hear more about heaven. I spoke about that a few weeks ago. Check out our website. What is heaven like? But we are here on earth. This is not heaven. But yet we have a desire for perfection, for a perfect place. And that in itself, that desire, that implant that is in our soul that seeks a perfect place is in fact, is it a recognition that God created you for this life, but he created you for more than just this life. He created you to have a relationship with him now and to be with him for eternity in heaven. This is why it's so important to build a relationship with him now. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles. Oftentimes when we're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel light or momentary. But Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal, everlasting, forever, eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Don't fix our eyes on the problems around us, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This next truth, I think you probably already know it, but it is a stress reliever. It is a confidence builder and it's a stability creator, and it's simply remembering and focusing on what is unchanging. Remember and focus on what is unchanging. In the days ahead, focus your life not on what is changing, but focus your life and your attention onto what is unchanging. There are going to be some changes. Remember after 9/11, there were significant changes. There will be changes in the future. Remember when everything around you is up in the air, when uncertainty is prominent, the key for stability in your life is to focus on the unchangeable truth. So let me just remind you of a few unchangeable truths. Focus on God's grace. Focus on God's grace, focus on God's truth, and focus on God's love for you. Focus on no matter what you are going through, that you know that God will go with you through it all. Psalm 23, read it, study it, memorize it, especially verse 4. God will go with you and be with you through the valley, every valley. Focus on God's grace. Focus on God's truth. Focus on God's love for you. And no matter what you are going through, focus on knowing that God will be with you. Every crisis, every stage, every age that you go through, you are never alone. God will go through it with you. God is with you. Now, knowing that God is with you is not an emotion. You may not feel it, because God is not a feeling. God is a presence. Remember the great promise in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, they will not burn you. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And lastly, remember, this is not the end of the story. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, because we know the one who has raised Jesus Christ will raise us as well. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the truth is you win either way, and you win in the end, no matter what happens. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your permanent home, your eternal home is in heaven. And one day, All your pain, all your suffering, all of the sadness and sorrow that you've ever experienced or maybe are experiencing today, all your stress and anxiety, all of your fears will be wiped away. Revelation 4 says, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. The old order of things has passed away when we reach heaven. But now, for today, we are not in heaven. We are in this broken world, in this world that we can live knowing that God is with us as we travel. And we can rely on him and trust in him. So friends, in the days ahead, focus on the facts. Listen less to the news. Focus less on social media. Instead, focus on what will give you confidence. Focus on and replace panic with praise. Listen to praise music. Listen to music and thank God every day. Get up and write a list of what you're thankful for today. Replace that anxiety and worry with worship. Come to God and speak to him. Open his word. Read the Gospel of John. This is a time to do that. Because when we focus on these things, what is true and what is right and what is noble, we receive peace from God. Paul explained it this way in Philippians 4. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. Focus on whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the God of peace will be with you. My friends, we want everyone to be connected. If there's anything we can do to help, please use our website or email us directly. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are with us always. Help us, Lord, not to be so confused by all of the information that is flying around, but help us to focus on you and your steadfastness. Lord, I just lift up and pray for everybody in our community, in our church family, in all of the communities in which people are tuning in today. I pray for our leaders, and I pray, Lord, that you would give us all both patience, but help us, Lord, to trust in you and know that you are a God. That as long as we live in this place that is imperfect, you are walking with us. And may we trust in you and rely on the facts. And I pray this for your glory and for your peace, God. Amen. Amen. I invite you to join us next week as well. We'll be right here. God bless you. If you need us, let us know. Amen.